desperate malice. "You know that tower Widdershins of Lanka that was giving all that trouble a couple of months ago, when we were told it was all due to witches flying into the towers? It was only the witch the first time. Then Granium bribed a couple of the new men in the tower to call in a breakdown, and one of them roared like hell for the downstream tower, and he sent them the genuine market figures a good 2 hours before everyone else got them. That's how he cornered dried prawns, you know, and dried fish maw, and dried ground shrimp. It's not the first time he's done it, neither. The man is coining it." Guilt looked at Horsefry and wondered whether killing him now would be the best option. Vetinari was clever. You didn't stay ruler of a fermenting mess of a city like this one by being silly. If you saw his spy, it was a spy he wanted you to see. The way you'd know that Vetinari was keeping an eye on you would be by turning around very quickly and seeing no one at all. God's damned Greenium, too. Some people had no grasp, no grasp at all. They were so small. Using the clacks like that was stupid, but allowing a bottom feeder like Horsefry to find out about it was indefensible. It was silly. Silly, small people with the arrogance of kings running their little swindles, smiling at the people they stole from and not understanding money at all. And stupid, pig-like Horsefry had come running here. That made it a little tricky. The door was soundproofed, the carpet was easily replaceable, and of course Igors were renowned for their discretion, but almost certainly someone unseen had watched the man walk in, and therefore it was prudent to ensure that he walked out. "You're a good man, Reacher Guilt," Horsefry hiccuped, waving the brandy glass unsteadily now that it was almost empty again. He put it down on a small table with the exaggerated care of a drunk, but since it was the wrong one of the three images of the table sliding back and forth across his vision, the glass smashed on the carpet.
"Sorry about that," he slurred. "You're a good man, so I'm going to give you this. Can't keep it in the house. Can't keep it. Not with Vetinari spies on me. Can't burn it neither. It's got everything in it. All the little transactions. They're important. Can't trust the others. They hate me. You take care of it, eh?"
He pulled out a battered red journal and proffered it unsteadily. Guilt took it and flicked it open. His eye ran down the entries.
"You wrote everything down, Crispin," he said. "Why?"
Crispin looked appalled.
"Got to keep records, Reacher," he said. "Can't cover your tracks if you don't know where you left them. Then can put it all back, see, hardly a crime at all."
He tried to tap the side of his nose and missed.
"I shall look after it with great care, Crispin," said Guilt. "You were very wise to bring it to me."
"That means a lot to me, Reacher," said Crispin, now heading for the Magdalen stage. "You take me seriously, not like Greenium and his pals. I take the risks, then they treat me like dirt. Bloody good chap you are. It's funny, you know, you having an ego, bloody good chap like you, because,"
he belched hugely,
"because I heard that egos only work for mad chaps, totally bonkers chaps, you know, and vampires and whatnot. People are a few pennies short of a picnic. Nothing against your man, mark you. He looks a bloody fine fellow. Several bloody fine fellows."
Reacher Guilt pulled him up gently.
"You're drunk, Crispin," he said, "and too talkative. Now, what I'm going to do is call Igor."
"Yes, sir," said Igor behind him.
It was the kind of service few could afford.
"And he'll take you home in my coach. Make sure you deliver him safely to his valet, Igor. Oh, and when you've done that, could you locate my colleague, Mr. Grile? Tell him I have a little errand for him. Good night, Crispin."
Guilt patted the man on a wobbly cheek.
"And don't worry. Tomorrow you'll find all these little anxieties will have just disappeared."
"Very good chap," Horsefry mumbled happily, "for a foreigner."
Igor took Crispin home. By that time, the man had reached the jolly drunk stage and was singing the kind of song that's hilarious to rugby players and children under the age of 11. And getting him into his house must have awoken the neighbours, especially when he kept repeating the verse about the camel. Then Igor drove back home, put the coach away, sorted the horse, and went to the little pigeon loft behind the house.
These were big, plump pigeons, not the diseased roof rats of the city, and he selected a fat one,